Are you building your dream home? Or have you decided to stay in your current home and remodel? Either way, we all know that kitchens and baths are smart investments when it comes to the value and livability of our homes. Regardless of the project size or complexity, you want and deserve quality products and amazing service before, during, and most importantly, after the sale. A big part of that service is dealing with people that understand their products and can provide advice and consultation that you can rely on. Sounds like a tall order for sure. Who can give you the brands you know and trust and the professional help you deserve? Our friends over at Park Supply Company, of course. They are the go-to for all of your kitchen, bath, and DIY needs. Visit their locations in Huntsville and Athens, and you will understand the difference of the Park Supply way. Large selection with the small hometown feel you love. Mention this ad and receive a one-time coupon good for $10 off of a $50 purchase. Go to parksupplycompany.com and connect with them today. Have you been searching for a rewarding career as labor, skilled labor, or lead man supervisor? Premier Structures may have the career you've been looking for. Premier Structures offers three stages of profit sharing, 70% of health insurance covered for individuals, and plenty of room for growth. Premier Structures is located in Athens, Alabama, and serves all of North Alabama, and is licensed in Alabama and Tennessee. To find your career with Premier Structures, go to premierstructures.com or give them a call at 256-232-2092. For the barbecue lovers in your life, you can give the perfect gift of Bob Sykes Barbecue books, sauce, and gift cards. Available for purchase at Bob Sykes Barbecue in Bessemer, Alabama, or you can purchase online at bobsykes.com. That's Bob Sykes Barbecue in Bessemer, Alabama.
Sometimes life brings you a moment you always will remember. Some of nature's most beautiful creations framed by places we know and cherish. And aren't we in luck that some of life's most memorable scenes are right here at home, all together at Alabama the Beautiful, the group on Facebook where the eye captures the moment, and it really does last forever.
Be sure to check out AlabamaTheBeautifulMagazine.com.
With six convenient locations to serve you, Bankston Motorhomes is your local RV dealer. They have some of the top brand name RVs for sale at incredible prices. Whether you are looking for an awesome RV for a long-term road trip or a smaller or more lightweight RV for the occasional weekend getaway, Bankston Motorhomes is here to provide you with some outstanding options and deals that you just won't find anywhere else. For more information, go to BankstonMotorhomes.com or visit one of their six convenient locations in Huntsville, Florence, Warrior, Albertville, and Ardmore in Nashville, Tennessee. That's Bankston Motorhomes.
Fuquay's Southern Soul Food is available at two locations, one in Rogersville in the Foodland Shopping Center on Highway 72 and one in Hartsell at 711 Nance Ford Road. Enjoy the salad bar and various delicious meats, vegetables, desserts on the all-you-can-eat buffet. Open Tuesday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m., Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Sunday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Go see my friends at Fuquay's Southern Soul Food in Rogersville or Hartsell and tell them the Mark White Show sent you. With locations in Tuscumbia, Florence, Muscle Shoals, Russellville, Killen, Madison, and Athens, Singing River Dentistry provides the most advanced dental care, including same-day crowns and implants, in a compassionate and friendly atmosphere. They excel in educating their patients and themselves about the benefits of keeping a healthy smile for a lifetime. The care of their patients is the center of their practice. They value their patients' time, trust, and total health. For more information about their practice or to request an appointment, go to SingingRiverDentistry.com.
Hey everybody, this is Daryl Worley, and you're listening to The Mark White Show. Hey, step up and make a difference like he does.
This is Nico Johnson from Andalusia, Alabama, assistant football coach at University of Texas. Be where your feet are. You listen to The Mark White Show.
Hey y'all, this is Jeff Foxworthy, and you, yeah, you can make a huge difference. Somebody's life. You just may not have figured out how yet, and that's why you're listening to The Mark White Show.
Hi, I'm Crystal Gale, and you're listening to The Mark White Show, and one smile can make a difference.
Hello, I'm Gene Stallings, and this is The Mark White Show. Get off the sideline and get involved and make a difference in your community.
You are listening to The Mark White Show. My daddy is your host, Mark White.
Do something good today.
Gonna hold who needs holding, mend what needs mending, walk what needs walking, though it means an extra mile, pray what
what needs praying. Say what needs saying. Cause we're only here for a little while. Today I stood singing songs and saying amen, saying goodbye to an old friend who seemed so young. Well, he spent his life working hard.
Welcome to a very special edition of the Mark White Show. Wow. Billy Dean is on the line with me right now. This is a great interview to be able to have for the Mark White Show. I would say it's going to mark a milestone for me, because there was a young kid back in 1990 that was really struggling. My parents had divorced. I had moved in with my grandparents. They took guardianship of me. And we quickly moved from Athens to Birmingham. And I had left my friends. I had left my family. My granddad was a preacher. We were at a new church. And those who have been preachers' kids, you know how that can be. It was very tough. I went to school. I didn't have a lot of friends there. I was being picked on. And WZZK out of Birmingham, Alabama, was the station that I listened to back during that time. And I can guarantee you that the very first time I heard Only Here for a Little While was November 1990 on WZZK as an 11-year-old kid. And Billy Dean is joining me, as I mentioned, and it's so great to have him on the program because his music has had such an impact in my life. When you're a lonely kid, sometimes music might be the only thing you have. Welcome to the Mark White Show, Billy Dean.
Wow, Mark, we have so much in common. You know, I had two older sisters, and my older sister had already left home, and my middle sister had already left home, and I was kind of a, you know, felt like an only child, and the guitar was my video game, and, you know, we didn't have video games back then. Sitting down and spending time alone with the guitar and the neck of the guitar, learning how to, you know, play certain chords, and then getting out of the house, you know, just trying to, you know, entertain myself. That's what Billy the Kid was written about. My dad was, he was a World War II veteran, and in his mind, you know, it was a very dangerous world, and I didn't have time to be a kid, and he didn't have time to, you know, to waste. He wanted to grow me up quickly, thought that it was, you know, I might have to go to battle one day myself, you know, so,
yes.
Music was my, refuge.
Hey, and if somebody finds something that they love and they have a passion for, mine became football. I started kicking a football over the power lines in that same yard that I was growing up in Hueytown, Alabama. And I became a kicker and ultimately walked on at the University of Alabama as a place kicker after that. So I was a big dreamer too, Billy. I had a lot of dreams myself, and you were able to establish yourself in country music back in the early 90s. And man, I wouldn't be talking to you right now if you hadn't taken that path, if you hadn't picked up that guitar and started strumming it to find peace in your life.
You know, I think the most fortunate thing of all for me was I knew what I wanted to do with my life from a very early age. I loved country music so much. They were, you know, Merle Haggard, people like this were my giants. You know, Elvis Presley, I was a big Elvis fan, and in fact, we loved the Elvis movie, went to see it, you know, a couple of weeks ago. And I just, you know, always, my town that I grew up in was a little tobacco growing town, a little farming town in Quincy, Florida, up in the panhandle of Florida. And really, all you really aspired to do was there was to grow up and get on the back of a tractor and farm and, you know, and go to school, go to work, basically. And I always dreamed of, you know, seeing the world. I wanted to travel. I was kind of a gypsy at heart, you know, and maybe it was just, I was running from my roots, you know,
right.
Could have been what it was all about, but I knew what I wanted to do at a very early age. And I thank God the good, you know, that my dad put a guitar in my hand, you know, around the first, second grade. And that's what I used to entertain myself. And it got me a couple of A pluses on term papers that I never turned in, but I wrote a song, you know, for my English class. about 30 minutes. I got an A+. I thought all the other kids spent 6 weeks on this term paper. I spent 30 minutes writing the song, and I got an A+. I was like, I know what I'm going to do for the rest of my life.
That is awesome. That is awesome. That's great, man. You know, it's those things that end up having that knack. And I found that I had a knack with people. And I know that my granddad, being a preacher and making me look people in the eyes and shake their hands as they were leaving services, had an impact on me. And so I connected with people in a way that I never knew that I would. Even as a police officer for several years, I was a law enforcement officer, and I connected with people that were hurting. I connected with people who were going through addiction. I connected with people who wanted to take their lives. I connected with people who simply needed a friend, and they were all alone. They felt all alone in this world. And now I don't have that rigid within the box of law enforcement to keep me in. I'm free, and I can say what I want to and do what I want to. And I have the freedom that I never had as a law enforcement officer, because you can only get so close to people and you can only do so many things to help them as a law enforcement officer. And that's not taking away from what I was able to do or others are able to do. But now I can take it to the next level and say, okay, what do you need? What does your family need? How can I help you? And I can really get involved with people where I couldn't as much when I was a law enforcement officer.
I think you're exactly right. And the path that you chose is such a noble one. I used to feel guilty all the time about leaving home, leaving my kids and going on tour, because it was fun. You know, it was fun. You know, you're going out there, you're getting adored by many, many people. At a certain point in my career, I realized that, you know, it was time to serve with my music. You know, I was doing music to stay popular. You know, you do all the things you have to do. You do your TV shows, you do your interviews, you put your album out to keep your name out there. But once I got the attention of the country music audience, you know, the words of my dad, you know, kept kind of playing back in my mind, which he never wanted me to go into the military. He lost two brothers in World War II, and he'd served, and I thought maybe I should do that. And he said, you know what? Your family has already paid your price to live in this country. I want you to pursue your music. And so I felt an obligation to try to sing songs that really made people think, you know, like Only Here for a Little While, or had a message like Let Them Be Little. There's that theme of I Miss Billy the Kid. The first album was called Young Man, a song called Men Will Be Boys. And I kept wondering why these, you know, themes of holding on to your youth, you know, that little inner kid inside you was such a theme. I never intended that to happen. That was never thought out. It just was something that I was able to look back and reflect on and ask myself, why was I gravitating to that message? And it was because I felt like that part of my dad had been killed in the war. You know, he went very early. He was 16, 17 years old. And, he still had a kind of a jolly side about him, but really, I struggled so hard to try to stay a kid, you know, it was nothing that I really planned out as far as that message being in my music. But that I felt like, you know, that I, you know, the after a while of talking to people like yourself and people telling me just what the music has meant to them, and I want to thank you for this, because this is what took my guilt away for doing such a fun job, really, but an important job. And it really made me a better dad, because I quit parenting out of guilt, and I came home and I said, I hope you guys find your purpose. I said, you know, being an artist, being a storyteller, trying to, connect with people as you've done, Mark. I said, that's a noble job. And I am proud of what I do. And that's how I started parenting. After I reached that point in my life, I realized that, hey, I'm not just out here, you know, running up and down the highway, being selfish and seeing the world. And, you know, I'm actually trying to make a difference, as, you know, as many people have, like yourself and the law enforcement.
And you finally got it. When we get it, we get it. That's it. Because I want everybody to get it as far as their purpose in life and knowing that what they're doing does make a difference, all the way down to the little kid who just got a certificate from the school because he was most improved. I want that kid to know that there are people who care about what he's done and that accomplishment. And I share those things through my show. So I have Billy Dean on my show, and I have Billy Joe on my show from whatever school in America, and let him know that we are proud of him, because I know what a person needs to grow into a good adult. And we've had challenges, both of us, Billy, as we've grown up, and we know those experiences. And if we say, I want to be the person that Billy needed 40 years ago, I want to be the person that Martin needed 30 years ago, and then do it. Just do it.
Absolutely. You know, we have a really great opportunity, our generation right now, and our kids. You know, my kids, 29 and 27, and you know, they look at things around them. They look at the, you know, they see the news, and they get disappointed and down about, you know, the country and where they live. And of course, I tell them, I say, this is a great opportunity. You have a chance to write the next chapter of our country. And you know how you've been raised, you know what we believe in, you know what you stand for. And, you know, my daughter said, I don't know, Dad, I'm just gonna move up to Canada, right? And I said, well, what would have happened if your grandpa had moved to, you know, to Canada and didn't go fight? You know, so you're not gonna run away from the fight. This is the greatest country in the world, and we have our flaws. We have the freedom to fail, but that's how we learn, and that's what turns things around. And I'm really optimistic about the future. I think, yeah, there's a movement happening, but this country, how great we've got it here, and we can write the next chapter. We have we've been given the keys to this great country, and that's why I love storytelling. I don't like to preach to people. I don't like to, try to tell anybody how to live their life. All I can do is say, this is my life. This is what I stand for. This is what works for me. And I would never get that opportunity anywhere else on this planet except this great country.
Exactly right. We just live it, man. Live it and show it, and people will receive it. Absolutely. I love that, because we have a lot of people out there right now who need our love. They need our compassion, our kindness. And I'm thinking right now, Billy, about the two heroes that are in your family. What were their names, your father's brothers?
My dad's brothers were named, one was Robert Lloyd Dean, and he was killed in Tunisia in 1943. He was in the 1st Armored Division with Patton and those guys. And then the other brother, his name was Harold Mason Dean. And my middle name is Harold, William Harold Dean. I was named after him. And he was a paratrooper in Italy and died September the 30th in 44. And my dad was a paratrooper, and he was part of Operation Dragoon. They jumped into southern France in August of 1944. And I've been doing a lot of research and storytelling about, you know, their contribution. And I think about them every time I do something, write a song or go to a charity event or something like that, or think about, you know, when I do think about, sometimes, as we all do, throwing our hands up and just, you know, taking yourself out of the game and just going, okay, it's, you know, there's nothing I can do about it. I'm just one person. When I have all those thoughts, I think about those two boys, man. I think about, you know, what they did, and it makes me get back up and go to work.
Absolutely. William Harold Dean, and what was the first one again? I finally found a pen.
Okay. Robert Lloyd Dean was the first, he was in the 1st Armored Division, and then Harold Mason Dean was the second brother that died. One was a paratrooper, one was And if you go to YouTube, if you go to Billy Dean, if you find my YouTube site, there are a couple of little 6-7 minute videos that I've done when I just started my research, and I just started reading the letters of the boys. I've got 50 letters by these guys, and I started on a little journey, and you can see a couple of the videos. It's called The Greatest Men I Never Knew, and it's a few little videos that I've done and that I started posted, and I need to pick this project back up. I took some time out to, you know, obviously put out a new album and promote my new album. But this is sort of a a project. It's kind of an ongoing project about World War II, about our county, Gadsden County, and about my family and other families in our county that, you know, that fought during that time and the sacrifices that our county made. Our little county, we had 1,123 boys that were serving in World War II from our little county. And I just thought that was a lot of guys, you know, from a small little rural county to be serving. And it piqued my interest. And I wish I had, you know, I wish I was more engaged when I was younger. And if I had anything to say to a lot of our veterans out there, please, please share, you know, no matter how bad it is, please share your experience and let our next generation know, you know, what it takes to keep a country like this. We need to know about those sacrifices because, I feel like if these young kids can sit out here and play, you know, Call of Duty and shoot 'em up games on, they can sure hear a real live World War II story or a real live Iraqi story or Desert Storm, whatever.
Absolutely.
I just feel like they need to know about it.
Yes, absolutely. Hey, folks, right now we're talking to Billy Dean, and he has a new album that we're going to be talking about here in just a minute. He is the Saltwater Cowboy, and being in the Panhandle of Florida, I can understand where that comes from. He's had some help from Paul Overstreet, our friend through the Mark White Show. We're glad that Billy can join us today, and I hope you'll stick with us as we talk about The Rest of It's Mine, the new album featuring 10 tracks, and his first country album launch in a decade. 10 years. Billy Dean, I know a lot of you love him. We're in the right age group for that. Billy Dean is sharing his story with us today, and I hope you will stick with us. You are listening to The Mark White Show, and I'm your host, Mark White.
Say what needs saying, cause we're only here for a little while.
Bob Sykes Barbecue has a big announcement. They are now delivering to your home or office. Just order online and we'll take care of the rest. Check them out at bobsykes.com.
Since 1943, Athens Bible School has endeavored to provide quality education in a Christian environment and to equip young people with the tools to be successful. ABS is accredited by Cognia and a member of the Alabama High School Athletic Association. With the Bible at the foundation, with all of our curriculum from pre-K to 12, ABS has something unique to offer. Find out more information at athensbible.com.
With 6 convenient locations to serve you, Bankston Motorhomes is your local RV dealer. They have some of the top brand name RVs for sale at incredible prices. Whether you are looking for an awesome RV for a long-term road trip or a smaller or more lightweight RV for the occasional weekend getaway, Bankston Motorhomes is here to provide you with some outstanding options and deals that you just won't find anywhere else. For more information, go to BankstonMotorhomes.com or visit one of their 6 convenient locations in Huntsville, Florence, Warrior, Albertville, and Ardmore in Nashville, Tennessee. That's Bankston Motorhomes.
Marmac Real Estate has 8 offices throughout the state of Alabama. That includes Decatur, Hartsel, Coleman, Florence, Killen, Muscle Shoals, Orange Beach, and Dauphin Island. There are more than 140 agents throughout Alabama. You can easily reach one of those agents by going to marmac.us and tell them the Mark White Show sent you.
Welcome to Happy Hollow. Here you can find a wide variety of products, including home decor, apparel, western wear, pet supplies, baby clothes, boots, gifts, and of course, our year-round Christmas selection. As you make your way to the back, you'll be greeted with our outdoors section, which includes hunting, fishing, camping, guns, and ammo, as well as our gunsmith shop. Oh, and take a moment to sit and warm up next to our fireplace. Take the elevator or the stairs up to our second floor, where you will find our sports section, which includes a wide variety of golf supplies, baseball, softball, football, soccer, disc golf, tennis, and many other sports products. Even pickleball. No matter what you're looking for, there is always something to find at Happy Hollow Outdoors, located at 985 9th Street West, Red Bay, Alabama.
For all of your concrete needs in North Alabama, contact Esteban Tovar with Tovar Construction Company. With free estimates and quality work, no job is too big or too small. Give Tovar Construction a call at 256-216-7555 or 256-321-5989.
You can also see some of their great work at Tovar Construction Co. LLC on Facebook.
I'm gonna hold who needs holding, mend what needs mending, walk what needs walking, though it means an extra mile. Pray what needs praying, say what needs saying, 'cause we're only here for a little while. The day I stood singing songs and saying amen, saying goodbye to an old friend who seemed so young. Well, he spent his life working hard to chase a dollar.
Welcome back to the Mark White Show. This is a great interview with Mr. Billy Dean. I hope you are enjoying it. If you missed the first segment, go back and listen. It was a great segment. We talked about honoring some very special people in Billy's life. One was his uncle Robert Lloyd Dean, and the other was Harold Mason Dean. Now, I want to dedicate this show today to Robert and Harold and their memory, because we know through interactions we've had with veterans, the service and sacrifice that it takes. And both of those gentlemen from the Deed family lost their life. And today we are dedicating this. And I hope, Billy, that that helps you move forward with your project as you think about there are people out there who need and want information about those who serve, to hear their stories, to inspire them to keep going in this country as we move forward. Because we talk about the struggles. I stay away from the news, but you are my news right now, Billy. That's the way that works. But individuals out there, if we can come together and know that we all exist, we're going to be just fine.
Yeah, we are. We're going to be just fine. And the thing that I love about this, this, you know, little project, and, you know, and I know we talked a lot about it the first segment, but if I could just add, you know, when I moved back to Florida, my home state, there was a box of letters, like 50 something letters. And I get to follow the mindset of my uncles from their training, from boot camp, all the way to when things started heating up, all the way to the time, you know, to the letters that they write, because they don't know if they're going to get to write another one. You know, you start realizing, oh, why did they write a letter here? And you look at the date of the letter. Then you look at the campaign that they were in, and they wrote the letter just a few days before they went into these campaigns, and you knew it was going to be hell when they went in. And just to see the transformation of their attitude from being, you know, these young boys that were so excited to see the world and to fight and to go, you know, to go get it, man, and go change the world, to you see them mature over a short period of time, based on the campaigns they are. And then the tones of their letters that they write, and you look at the date of those letters and you realize they had just been through hell, like the letters that my dad wrote after the Battle of the Bulge, things like that. That's what I hope to portray to people, is to get in the heads of those soldiers, and you see the why, you know, why they did it, why they went. And, you know, they took this hazardous duty, you know, because it paid $50 more a month, you know, and put their life on the line, you know, to send money back home, 50 bucks a month, you know, to be bomb techs and to be minesweepers and paratroopers and this, because it was such a, you know, Great Depression and everything was going on back home. And that kind of valor is something that I hope we can restore in our country. And now, speaking of all of that, just to shift gears for a second, my album, The Rest of It's Mine, is such a selfish title. And I'll
and you drew that out, Billy, yourself. So are you telling them yourself, or is this an admittance? No,
this is totally. I tell you, it's a theme song for all of us parents out there who have given so much, you know, to our kids and to being a good husband and trying to be a good father and everything. And you finally reach a point in your life, you know, your kids are launched, they're gone, you know, they're gone to college, you got them off on the right foot. And then you, before they circle back around, right, for maybe a second time, I thought, I want to write this song and just tell my kids right off the bat that hey, don't even think about it. The rest of it's mine.
I've got a 21-year-old nephew who lives with us, and I try to tell him that. He's that's great.
Well, that's what I was driving down to Key West, Florida, and I saw these RV parks that had all these, you know, bicycles and kayaks, and these people were like, you know, they're like in their 50s and 60s, and you know, their legs are ripped and they're tanned. And I thought, man, I'm going to write an album for these people because I feel like they made it to the other side, and my wife and I feel the same way. And so that's really what this whole album is really about.
That's
in fact,
great.
There's a title on there called The Laziest Man Alive, and that's one of my favorite tracks on the whole album.
it gets you there, you know, and people have paid their dues. I think when people raise kids, and like I said, we have a 21-year-old that we've raised, my nephew, and we have an 8-year-old daughter, so we've got a nice span there. But the 21-year-old sometimes doesn't appreciate the things and the sacrifices we made for him, and I hope in time that it does. But you know, with being on the spectrum, that can have some effect too, where he doesn't necessarily appreciate. And if he doesn't, at least we know what we did and the work that we put in to get him to where he's at. He's a working person. He has almost finished his college degree, his 4-year degree. And so his mom, who's no longer with us, would be proud. His dad is proud. My grandmother, who helped raise him, she would be proud. And so I want to encourage somebody who's listening right now. Maybe they don't get the appreciation that they feel like they deserve because of raising a child. And maybe that child looks like they're turning on you, and possibly they are. But at the same time, just look at the good that you tried to accomplish, and then hope and pray that things will get better in their life, and that they'll hit that moment like we all have to see the reality of how we got to where we are. Nobody pulled themselves up by their own bootstraps. We had someone wipe our bottoms when we were babies. Somebody fed us, kept us alive, and we never need to take that for granted.
No, we don't. You're exactly right, man. I've seen, you know, just to give some hope to those folks out there that are in that very position. You know, being in Nashville for 30 something years and having arrived there, you know, when I was a teenager, I was 19, just turned 20 years old when I arrived in Nashville. And I've got a nephew who's the same way. He's almost 18 years old. You know, there's that period in your life, you know, you want to try things your way. You know, you want to do it your way. You feel like, okay, I'm ready to spread my wings and try and fail. And usually it runs like this. I saw it happen in Nashville, and it happened to me, And I've got a couple of young artists that come to Nashville. The first time, you know, when you're 19, it's the first time you're leaving home, right? You want to make sure that you can just support yourself, you know? And so,
right.
And also you got nobody telling you can or can't do this. So, you know, you go up there, you're going to party, you feel like you're an adult or whatever. And then, you know, if you're lucky enough to take a look around after about 3 or 4 years, about the time you hit maybe 24, 25 years old, all of that stuff, you know, you've gotten it out of your system and you're ready to buckle down, and you realize time's closing in and it's, you know, it's time for me to settle down. For me, I was about 25, 26 years old, playing bars and clubs, you know, staying out all night, you know, not really putting the effort in my craft. And I saw people like Trisha Yearwood and some of my contemporaries, people that I was doing demos with, Alan Jackson, all these guys started getting record deals. And I realized I hadn't gotten a record deal yet, you know, and all these people I knew, Garth Brooks, all these guys were coming to town to get record deals. And I was like, man, I need to settle down, buckle down,
right.
You know, and then about the time you're about 27 or 28, you know, after you put 2 or 3 good years in, sober years, I can say, you know, then the door starts cracking open. So it seems like a natural progression, you know, around that age, 20, 21, you just, a buddy of mine told me, he said, Billy, you know, these kids are going to go in a tunnel. You can't reach them. They either come out the other side or they don't. There's not a thing you can do about it. And you just hope they come out on the other side. And that's what happened to me. I looked around at my contemporaries, and they were all moving forward, and I was still goofing off. And I settled down, buckled down, And you know, it took me, I was about 28 years old when I got my record deal and having my first hits, and, you know, and that's, that was kind of the natural progression, you know? So, you know, I always say a buddy, same guy actually told me, he goes, you know, being a parent, you know, you're earning your place on earth, especially when you're going through the teenage years and those early years that you're, you know, that you're rooting for them. And so, definitely been there, and my kids parented me a lot more than I parented them. You know, I realized that you have to parent through example. You know, if you don't want your kids doing a certain thing or doing this, then you can't do it yourself because they're watching you, you know? So it really transformed my life, you know, being a parent, straightened me up just to say, hey, you know, my kids are watching me. The best way to parent is not to preach and lecture, but just live it. Because kids just naturally want to imitate you. They just naturally look up to you. You really, all you got to do is just walk the line, as old Cash used to say.
My daughter, she loves Johnny Cash. 8 years old and loves Johnny. And she met T. Graham Brown. When she showed a picture of T. Graham Brown showed a picture of Johnny and himself in his bus. She was so impressed that he had actually met Johnny Cash. That was something for her.
No doubt.
I get what you're saying, though. My dad, on this day when we're speaking here, August 31st, back in 2016, he was advised to go on hospice care by Vanderbilt Hospital with cancer. And so this day is definitely a marker for me. He didn't raise me. He had a lot of problems himself, and he battled alcohol addiction. That's why my grandparents ended up taking me. But this day was really momentous because of the fact that we were driving home around this time 6 years ago, carrying him back home, and you might have well been a hearse, you know, thinking about, well, he's not going to be here much longer. But at the same time, it kicked me into gear, Billy, because I realized what it's like to be in a hospital with somebody for 3 weeks and hoping that there was something that was going to happen to change, and it doesn't change, and you go through all the different emotions. And I felt that. And so I spend a lot of time now helping people who are in the hospital and struggling, letting them know that the Mark White Show audience is out there and that they care. But this is a pretty powerful day for me to be able to talk to you, because it's one of those things that I have to fight. I have to fight the dark stuff today because of what today meant, telling my dad, well, we're sorry, Mr. White, but you're going to need hospice care. And then going back home and having everything put in the house, and just a few days later losing him on Labor Day. So I remember vividly some of those moments, and it inspired me to help other families. And so I get what you're saying, because my dad was very much, I said he was like my son, because there were things that he needed advice with. He wasn't the best writer or reader. And so I helped him read things that he needed to be able to understand. He worked for General Motors, so he had a great job. He retired with General Motors. I was very proud of him for his stick-to-itness, as I've heard through my life, because he did. He was definitely dedicated to that job and working. But this is a hard day, you know, for me.
Man, I want you to listen to Travis Meadows. I don't know if you know Travis Meadows, but he's a songwriter. Oh, you got, man, I'm telling you right now, Mark, you go get Travis Meadows, a couple of albums. He's a songwriter guy from Mississippi. Everybody in Nashville loves him. He's got a great story. You can read about it, but he's got a song called, My Daddy Was Just a Boy in Grown Up Clothes. And you gotta hear that one. That'll help you. It's exact identical story as you have here. And, man, it's powerful. Travis Meadows, that's all I can say. He's got a couple of albums out there, and it's all about this. It's about addiction. It's about, he's got, it's time to go play in a minefield. It's about, I don't even know. My family, same way, me and my sisters, we struggled with this self-destruction kind of gene that we had, and we all overcame it. You know, we all overcame it. It's all like right at the time when things are going good and everything's going to be, you know, everything's kind of happening for you. You know, you'll self-sabotage.
Yes. It's
like, why don't we get right to the finish line, and we and we mess it up. And I think it's because we're more comfortable dealing with adversity than we are with success.
That was exactly right, because we get so used to things bad happening, we're just expecting it. So, okay, everything's good right now. I guess the big old wave's going to come and wash all of our good times away. And sure enough, guess what happens when you think that? The next day comes and the good times are washed away by that big old wave that came through, and you got a storm. Well, it's pretty and sunny today. I bet tomorrow it's going to be cloudy and stormy. And guess what? A tornado comes through, because that's the type of people we are.
It is. You know, people don't feel like they're worthy of being happy, you know. And I grew up in a very strict, you know, Baptist, you know, Christian background, you know, growing up. And, you know, they were trying to teach us humility, you know, trying to teach us to be humble. But really, it kind of backfired. It made you feel like, you know, hey, you're not worthy of success. You don't deserve, you know, you're being arrogant, or you're being, you know, not godlike if you're successful. Now, I don't feel that's what the good Lord wanted for us at all.
Right.
You know, I think he wanted us to get into, you know, to be successful and to have a voice and take responsibility when we are successful, to share, you know, those paths that we took to get there, and share them with other people, to be happy and to be positive. And, you know, I know that, you know, from my background, it was an incredible journey. And you know what I can contribute most of my success to is I asked for help. I asked for help. There's a lot of people that want to help, but they're not going to help unless you're ready to ask for it. And when you go and when you find the courage to throw yourself on the altar of, you know, wanting to, you know, throw yourself on the altar of humility, saying, I'm ready to go to do something better with my life. Go ask for help. You'll be surprised at how many people are ready to stick that hand out and pull you up. There's a lot of people out there that do it, but you got to get to that point in your life where you go, I need help. Help me. And man, most people know that when that happens, you know, that you're on the right path at that point, you know?
Exactly. And we want people to be on the right path. And Billy, I think this conversation can help change some lives. I know that you didn't know what to expect when you hear the Mark White Show. You've never heard of me before, but I think you can see why me and Paul connected pretty quickly, because it's just being real, man. Being open with each other is much better. It's a much better, enjoyable life to me than putting up the walls that I tried to put up as a kid to act like everything was okay, to be in a preacher's home and try to look good for people who expected you to be okay when you really weren't. And I just took a sledgehammer and started breaking those walls down. And I've done that through my show. It took this show 5 years ago for me to be able to do that. And it took some time. It took talking to people who were willing to share, and then think, well, why can T. Graham Brown share about his problems and then I can't share about mine? What's going on here? Why can this individual share about what they struggle with and I can't? And then finally realize that they had decided that they were taking down the walls, and I decided to as well.
Man, that I think that's the very beginning. You know, I think what a lot of people don't realize, and something that I've realized, that, you know, what's behind your intentions, you know, the power that we all have individually, to change the course of everything is rooted in the source of our intentions. What are those intentions? If you intend on making a difference, if your intentions are pure, you know, I purely want to do good for someone, or I want to, you know, the power of what you intend to do, it actually trumps everything in nature. All of the work that I think we all have to do is really find out, you know, what those intentions are. Are those intentions to hurt? Are they those intentions to goof off, or to just have a party? Or really is your intentions to, you know, to do better and make better? And when you fall in line with that, you know, if you feel like, man, everything I do, I'm running into a wall's here, a wall's there, you know, look at what the intentions are that you're trying to do, you know, and when those when your intentions line up with the good of the whole, man, that's when everything just starts clicking for you. Yeah, everything just opens up. Those doors open up. Your eyes open up. And that's something that doesn't take money to do. It doesn't take a job to do. It takes a search of the heart and a search of what you truly are intending to do with your time and your life that you're here. And when it lines up with everything else, you'll be surprised at how awesome life can be at that point.
And your songs still resonate today, Billy. Even the older songs that we were talking about before we started, how important they are to people. And I told you, your music has impacted a lot of people, and don't ever forget that. And speaking of the impact and the songs, one of them is Somewhere in My Broken Heart. And you took this song and put it with a symphony orchestra as a bonus track on your new album, which people can find at billydean.com. And it was Song of the Year, ACM Award for Song of the Year back 30 years ago, 30th anniversary, man.
That's something else, man. Absolutely. 30 years ago, Somewhere in My Broken Heart won the Country Music Song of the Year at the Academy of Country Music Awards. And it's such a pretty melody. And I always wanted to hear strings, you know, accompanying as the background in that song because of the melody that it has. And I never had the budget. You know, it was my second single. When you're a brand new artist, you don't have the budget to put an orchestra on an album.
Understood.
You know, so. But after it, all these years later, I was able to go in and I had, I don't know if people will remember this name, but there's a guy named David Gates. He was the lead singer of a group called Bread. They had, I would give everything I own. You know,
one of my favorites.
Absolutely. David, he's a good buddy of mine, and he wrote the string parts for Somewhere in My Broken Heart. He was an arranger, and I took those string parts, and we had a conductor write the other orchestra parts for Somewhere in My Broken Heart, and we included it on the Rest of It's Mine album as a bonus track. We re-recorded it for the 30-year anniversary, and it's out there now. You can hear it streamed, you know, Spotify, iHeart Radio, whatever people listen to. But it's out there, and I'm very proud of that because that song changed my life. It was even the Nashville Songwriters Association in Nashville voted it the Song of the Year. It's had millionaire plays plus, you know, and it's done all the statistics, but it's just been more than that. I think it's a song about unconditional love. You know, it's a song about a couple who the guy or the girl, whoever the character is that you associate with in that song, loves the other person so much that they're willing to let them go, let them find themselves and not hold a grudge or anything. And it's kind of, you know, that's, again, what your intentions are. You know, a lot of times they come back, and if it's meant to be, it happens. And that's what, you know, that's what that bridge of Somewhere in My Broken Heart says, you know, fly, go ahead and fly until you find out who you are. I will keep my love unspoken somewhere in my broken heart. And it's just I wrote it with a Hall of Fame songwriter, Richard Lee, who showed me where the bar of excellence was when it came to writing. And I credit Richard. That was his melody. And he taught me so much during the process of writing that song. And that's why we celebrated it, the 30-year milestone of it this year, being on the new album. And you can definitely check out just that one track if that's all people want to listen to. But basically the mood of the whole album is a lot about just having some fun and going, you know, taking a little time off. I felt like I had really sung a lot about faith, family, and the flag, you know, growing up in the music business. And I felt like it was definitely time to, you know, to have some fun and to enjoy a little vacation. If you're driving down to the panhandle of Florida, to the beaches of Florida, put this album on, man. It'll put you in a good mood and hopefully put a smile on your face.
You sound like Paul Overstreet, Billy, because I know you both had that conversation because both of you had similar music back in the day. And Paul says the same thing.
Absolutely. And there you go. There's another preacher's son for you right there.
Exactly. Paul, yep.
Absolutely.
There you go. And Somewhere in My Broken Heart, I was just wondering who did that lift as you're leaving the song, and it was Richard Lee. As I look at Somewhere in My Broken, and you keep going up and up and up, I just, yep. you're flying away. And I'd never really thought about that, but that's true. And thinking about who came up with that, that's pretty powerful right there at the end. It's a powerful ending.
The producer said, you know, it sounds like this is going to end up being a movie theme. And that's how they wanted to, to kind of end the song. 'Cause it felt that way. It felt like, you know, the ending of a movie or
yes,
something.
Great
so,
job.
That was my producer's. That was definitely their idea.
We want to make sure that people find out more about you, Billy Dean, and they can go to billydean.com. They can follow you on social media. I think you have about 202,000 people that are following you right now. Pretty incredible audience that you have there. And that is a tool, and we can use it for good. We can use it for bad. And people who have social media pages, I want you to think about the good that you can do with the people that you have. So, Billy, I'm quite impressed with you, buddy. I've enjoyed this conversation today.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate the time, buddy.
When we come back, we're going to take you to Margaret, Alabama, to talk to Mr. Logan Lake. He is 8 years old, and he lives with Williams Syndrome. I hope you'll stick with us. You are listening to The Mark White Show, and I'm your host, Mark White.
Needs an extra mile. Pray what needs bread. Say what needs saying. 'Cause we're only here for a little while.
There are moments in life you wish you could capture forever. Alabama the Beautiful is a new online magazine that preserves images from sweet home Alabama. Yours anytime, online, every month. Where the eye captures the moment, and it really does last forever.
Be sure to check out AlabamaTheBeautifulMagazine.com.
Thompson Roofing and Construction is a locally owned family business serving the North Alabama and Southern Tennessee area. They are a Better Business Bureau A-plus member since 2011 and a GAF Master Elite Contractor. Give them a call at 256-952-3309 or check them out on the web at 256roofing.com. They offer free inspections.
Thompson Roofing and Construction.
Mr. Cecil Batchelor is the one that started this business as Dependable Service Center. And even though now it's Green's Dependable Hardware and we're a True Value store, our tagline is still Your Dependable Service Center. We've tried to keep that alive for all these years. Mr. Batchelor really started a good business. We're really excited to be carrying on a long-standing tradition. It's the oldest retail store in the city of Russellville. We're Green's Dependable Hardware, 15228 Highway 43 in Russellville, Alabama. We're right behind McDonald's or right across the street from the hospital. Number is 256-331-0123.
Your Dependable Service Center.
Is it time for a haircut? Give my friend Philip Butler at Southwind Barbershop a call, located in Rogersville, Alabama. You can call him at 256-247-5658. Make an appointment or just walk in. That's Southwind Barbershop in Rogersville, Alabama.
Are you building your dream home? Or have you decided to stay in your current home and remodel? Either way, we all know that kitchens and baths are smart investments when it comes to the value and livability of our homes. Regardless of the project size or complexity, you want and deserve quality products and amazing service before, during, and most importantly, after the sale. A big part of that service is dealing with people that understand their products and can provide advice and consultation that you can rely on. Sounds like a tall order for sure. Who can give you the brands you know and trust and the professional help you deserve? Our friends over at Park Supply Company, of course. They are the go-to for all of your kitchen, bath, and DIY needs. Visit their locations in Huntsville and Athens, and you will understand the difference of the Park Supply way. Large selection with the small hometown feel you love. Mention this ad and receive a one-time coupon good for $10 off of a $50 purchase. Go to parksupplycompany.com and connect with them today.
Since 1943, Athens Bible School has endeavored to provide quality education in a Christian environment and to equip young people with the tools to be successful. ABS is accredited by Cognia and a member of the Alabama High School Athletic Association. With the Bible at the foundation, with all of our curriculum from pre-K to 12, ABS has something unique to offer. Find out more information at athensbible.com.
Red and yellow and pink and green, purple and orange and blue. I can sing rainbow to you. Listen to your eyes, listen to your eyes.
You can sing
a rainbow, sing a rainbow,
sing along with me.
Red and yellow and pink and green, purple and orange and blue.
And we're back. Welcome to another edition of the Mary Faye Hedrick Good Deed segment as we come to you from Margaret, Alabama with my buddy Logan Lake. He is 8 years old and he lives with Williams Syndrome. Welcome to the Mark White Show, Mr. Logan.
Welcome to Logan's house. I'm Logan. I have Williams Syndrome. I do crazy things. I ask my daddy for something if I need to. I need to do as I need to do. And I'm Logan. Thanks for being with me now.
Thank you for inviting us to your home and letting us be here to talk today. You were able to get out of school to talk to me here at your house, weren't you?
Yes, this is my house. This is going to be the best day of my life ever.
Awesome. How was school today?
Good.
Did you let anybody know that you were going to be on the radio? Is it top secret? Is that our secret right now?
Top secret.
I love it. I love it. Hold that microphone just like that right there. If you can hold it just like that right there. Just hold it like that when you're talking. Excellent. So let's talk about Williams Syndrome. When did you find out you had Williams Syndrome?
When I was a little baby, I was born.
Let me hold it like that.
I was born when I was half my year.
You were two.
I was 2 years old. When I was a baby, I growed and growed and growed until I was this tall.
You're a big boy. You're 8 years old, right?
Yes, I'm going to be tall enough.
Excellent. Now, you said you do crazy things, but I'm going to tell you something. I met you at church the other day, and you were the most polite, you were the most friendly, you were the most interesting kid that I've met in the past few years. It's amazing. Because you came right up to me and you said, "Does your hair move?" And you put your hands on either side of my face and started shaking my head just to verify that my hair didn't move or if it did move. I found you very interesting. So what do you do that's crazy?
I do funny things on a trampoline.
Uh-huh.
I have to go to school so I can learn and play. And thanks for being with me. I'm Logan Lake Lawrence. I'm 8 years old. I'm gonna be 9 years old, and I'm gonna be 10 next year.
We're gonna help you celebrate your 9th birthday. When is your birthday?
My birthday is next year.
Next year. What month?
February.
February. It's not Valentine's Day, is it? Whoa, it's very close to Valentine's Day.
Yes.
Valentine's is the 14th and your birthday is 2 days before.
Yes.
Do you ever get chocolate for your birthday? There's a lot of chocolate being sold that time of year. If it was the 15th, you'd get a lot of chocolate discounted because it's much cheaper on the 15th.
Yes, it's a lot cheaper.
Now, I understand that you really like music.
Yes.
You love music, don't you?
Yes.
What is your favorite type of music? What do you like? Who do you like to listen to?
I like to listen to acapella. I like to listen to acapella. They're my favorite.
Acapella. What is it that you really like about acapella?
So, I do it. Interview. I'm doing an interview today, and I'm a kid. I have Phelan syndrome.
What's acapella? Can you tell us what acapella is?
They are fairly.
Say it again.
They are fairly helpless. Yes, yes, yes.
What's your favorite song at church?
My favorite song is "Do You Know My Jesus? Have You Heard That He Loves You?"
Can you sing that for us?
Do you know my Jesus? Do you know my friend? Have you heard that He loves you? Empty will invite to the end.
Great job, buddy. Great job. And that's your favorite song?
Yes.
That is a very powerful song. And you love to sing in church?
Yes.
Have you been able to get in front of the people and lead before?
Yes.
Thank you.
I've got it. I've got
it. Just get it to where it just right there. Right there is perfect. That's perfect. Let's see, Logan, if we hold it just, yeah, can you hold it just right there? Can you do that? Just hold it right there. And then when we talk, and how about the other kids that you get to sit with in church and get to sing?
Some of the kids I love is White Sam. They're coming to my house next year so they can spend the night with us.
Excellent. That sounds really good. Now we have your dad Lee with us, and we have your mom Christy with us, and we'd like for Lee and Christy to join in the conversation now. Can we let them talk a little bit? Excellent. Lee, welcome to the Mark White Show.
Thank you for having us.
And Christy, welcome to the Mark White Show.
Hi, thanks for coming.
This is really important that we bring awareness to Williams syndrome today, because there are a lot of people who are listening that probably have never heard of Williams syndrome. And today is the day when you, as a Williams syndrome family, have the opportunity to let listeners know about it. So I really feel like this is a very important day for the Mark White Show and for people who are listening.
Well, Williams syndrome is a genetic condition that's just randomly present at birth. It affects about 1 in 10,000 people. So about like finding a four-leaf clover or a blue lobster, I consider Logan my lucky charm, how rare and special it is. It's a genetic microdeletion. So it's about 26 genes that are missing on his 7th chromosome. And that's just about equivalent to one book in a library that's missing a few sentences out of a paragraph, out of an entire library. The 26 genes is an average deletion size. And in that is the elastin gene, and that's what makes your tissues stretchy. So a lot of kids, or a lot of individuals with Williams syndrome, struggle with cardiac defects or GI problems.
Yeah. So approximately 80% of children who are born with Williams syndrome will be discovered at birth because of these problems, usually a heart defect requiring surgery or a GI defect requiring intervention there. We were very blessed in that we did not have those medical issues with Logan, though we did have some prematurity, spent a few days in the NICU. But so we actually discovered his condition when we noticed that he really wasn't walking until he wasn't crawling until right at 18 months. He wasn't walking until 2 years. So we were just seeing these developmental delays, and we were very fortunate here that there's a lot of really good resources in Birmingham to try to help track that down. So our pediatrician referred us to rehab, who referred us to a rehab specialist, who referred us to a geneticist, and they made the diagnosis there. And so we were very fortunate after that to be referred to the Bell Center, which is out in Birmingham, and they help with developmental and intellectual delays and those kind of things. And it's it's an early intervention school for ages 1 to 3 or 0 to 3. And that was wonderful. And that gave us a good running start. But because while we were very blessed not to have the medical issues, it also meant that we were later in life before we found out about his condition. Trademarks of the Williams syndrome, they have distinctive facial features. You can look in their iris and see their distinctive features of their eye.
They have a starburst or a lacy pattern in his iris. So if you look in his eyes, he looks like he has like a snowflake kind of pattern in his eyes. And that's really common with kids that have light-colored eyes with Williams syndrome.
Right, and Down syndrome as well. They have the stars. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, stars Michelle Norwood wrote the book Stars in His mm-hmm. Eyes, mm-hmm. and A Little Something Extra Ice Cream is a sponsor of the show now with Hunter Norwood. So that was exactly what they talked about in the book. And Mr. Logan has something he would like to say.
Something about Williams syndrome is really, really sensitive to me. It's like so all he lives is like so. Yes, they're really, it's sensitive. The way I feel is really good to me. And I like it. And really much is really, I also need to.
How do you like hearing your voice right now through the headphones?
It's really good, really good.
So
the issue is probably right here in my sensitive. Yeah. Every day. So we
were very fortunate when we got the diagnosis to be referred to the Williams Syndrome Association, and we were able to go to their convention. I think that year it was in Ohio.
Yeah,
and
every day.
We were able to learn a lot from families who both had kids our age and even to kids who had grown up with Williams Syndrome. Hear from experts and that kind of thing. And so that was able to help get us on a early start for them. But with that data and with the information from the Williams Syndrome Association, we learned a lot about the condition. Most of these kids have a very strong affinity for music, and they want to be involved in that in some way. So we attend Pell City Church of Christ, and so we sing every day. And he has just made a very strong connection to that, which is also why he loves listening to Acapeldridge. Like, we can't start up our Amazon Alexa because it's just going to play Acapeldridge as soon because he's constantly playing it.
I heard about that, actually.
But so he will, and anytime we have a church service, he wants to sing immediately. And so,
every day. So every day I have to go to school. Monday, I don't have to because I'm off. I have to go. Do things like go play disc golf with Daddy. Like every day, it's so sensitive. I like to ride my bike down with my friend Rhett. He lives down. He's 12 minutes away.
He's two houses away. Logan has had a big summer. He loves Legos. He went to Legoland.
Whoa. That's cool.
Logan.
That out.
We're not going to make funny noises.
Tell us about Legoland. Stop,
Leva. Tell us about Legoland.
Legoland was really cool. So what the faction is?
What ride did you ride?
I rode the big kitty disco movie thing.
And you rode the dragon?
I rode the dragon. It's too scary.
That one was too scary for you. And say you learned how to... Hey, Logan.
The fax is every day.
Did you learn how to ride your bike?
Yes, ma'am, mama.
Without what?
Every day before then.
No. How did you learn how to ride your bike? Without what?
Training wheels.
So he's riding his bike without training wheels.
That is awesome, Logan.
The other thing I was going to say, we have multiple families in the area that have Williams syndrome. Many of them have had to deal with the medical issues that we've been very fortunate to avoid. But the need for early intervention on these children is very strong, which is why such as the Bell Center was so instrumental. You know, we've used outside resources such as our former speech therapist,
Martha Davis.
Who is also someone we attended church with in the past. And those kind of interventions are so key for these children because, as we saw with our visit to the convention, many of these kids, they grow up, they're not able to be independent, but this newest generation where that early intervention and that constant aid was provided for them and it was identified early, there are now many of them who are able to live semi-independent lives or even potentially independent lives. I know of one young lady who was able to graduate with a associate's degree in marketing, and that would have been unheard of even 10 years before. And that's just because of that early intervention from speech-language pathologists, from physical and occupational therapists, from special needs instructors in the school system. And so their quality of life is significantly improving, but part of that is that early recognition and that very aggressive approach, particularly in their early life, when the brain is just developing so much and so quickly.
One of the things, Christy, that we talked about was how much Logan loves people and his interaction with people. Mm-hmm. And when we think about younger children, even adults, they have a difficult time sometimes with different people. If someone's different than they are, they feel like they're different, mm-hmm. then they're going to treat them differently. When it comes to school and it comes to kids that Logan just wants to love on, let's talk about what you want parents to know when it comes to your son with Williams syndrome.
Well, I'll say this. You can't be an introvert and have a kid with Williams syndrome. you learn to get over that really quickly because
Yes, I did.
Logan, even from the time he was a baby, would make eye contact. Even as a little bitty baby, he would look you in the eye, and it looked like he was Stargate, like staring into your soul. And Logan just, he doesn't meet a stranger. At church, he's the first one to greet somebody new, and he has the ability to remember names and remember names and faces. And so, like, when we have visitors at church and they come back, he goes up to them and greets them by name. And he's kind of focused or obsessed with hair right now. So anybody new that we meet, he's going to ask them if they've got hairdo in their hair, and that's like hair pomade or something like that.
Focus on folks who may not necessarily.
And he's kind of drawn to people that might be a little standoffish. He's really sensitive to that. So if there's somebody that's shy or maybe a little grumpy or something, he's gonna single them out and go up to them and want to talk to them. And he's very sensitive to emotions. Another kid that's crying, or if I'm having a bad day, like, you know, most kids would just, you know, go off and play and kind of be in their little world. But Logan is very perceptive to other people's emotions.
Wants to console you.
Yes, absolutely. And he just wants to be your friend. If he gets a smile out of you, he has, like, to smile at him, you just see his face light up. And he's just a really special little guy. I mean, you can't be... He's grinning at me now. You can't be sad very long around Logan. He's not going to let you.
So every day, it's every day, every time.
And this, also this kind of lack of, lack of stranger danger kind of thing also makes him a little vulnerable. So we have to, you know, kind of teach him and kind of temper that very friendly, sweet personality, and, you know, remind him that, you know, not everybody is as friendly and kind and understanding as he may be.
Right.
So that's one of the big things that, you know, even as an adult, you know, we'll have to, you know, maybe help him with as far as, like, you know, knowing who to trust and... not letting people take advantage or be cruel.
Exactly.
You know, and just from a Christian perspective, I mean, it's just such a great example of what we should be in a perfect world. You know, we would be trusting of everyone. We would want to be friendly with everyone. And of course, especially as we grow older and as we become adults and we're not in a perfect world, we realize that we can't necessarily do that. But it's still just such a great example of what optimally, you know, as Christians, as people, we should be, you know, that we should be like this, you know.
My dad, he says all the time, every other person ought to have Williams syndrome. This world would be a much better place. And he's just a really special little guy. I send an email to his teachers every year, kind of, you know, explaining about Logan. And, you know, I just tell him, you know, Logan is full of joy and full of love. And, you know, educators and everybody that comes in contact with him is going to be instrumental in helping Logan be as independent and successful as he can be.
One of the things that you've done, Christy, is you've directed doctors and teachers to a particular website, and that's williams-syndrome.org.
Mm-hmm.
And people who are listening right now can find out more information by going to that website if they want to learn, if they want to educate themselves, mm-hmm. because we started from the beginning, this is about awareness mm-hmm. for Williams syndrome, and there are people who are learning right now. If they're interested mm-hmm. in finding out more, you mentioned that was a really good website to go to.
That's where I direct all of... new therapists, new teachers, any doctors. And we've been very fortunate that our pediatrician, like, she jumped right on board and jumped in and went and sought out all the recommendations and requirements, you know, for health maintenance for Logan. And most of this, pretty much all of the specialists in Birmingham that we've seen, Dr. Lau at UAB, the cardiologist. He's very familiar with Williams syndrome. The anesthesiologists that we've encountered at Children's Hospital when Logan's had to have tubes placed, they've always been, you know, very aware of Williams syndrome. Anesthesia is a very big risk for kids, for individuals with Williams syndrome. So they've all been, you know, very receptive to our concerns, you know, whenever Logan has to have a procedure or something like that.
That is great. And Christy, if someone wanted to reach out to you, say that they have a child with Williams syndrome, and we've talked about the fact that there are several locally here, would you be okay with them emailing you?
Absolutely. My email is Vaughn Christy, V-A-U-G-H-N, Christy, K-R-I-S-T-I, at gmail.com.
And excellent.
We also would like to point out that there, I'm sorry. Also, the Williams Syndrome Association has regional groups that are also available to help with that, especially if, you know, a parent who just had a child or just discovered that their child has Williams Syndrome has questions and all that. So the WSA, it's not just a national organization. They also have regional groups to try to help with that. So certainly some of the other families that we're involved with are very active in that regional group. And there are Facebook groups, of course, to help with that as well. So the resources are there, but because it's so uncommon at that 1 in 10,000, it still can feel a lot like being on an island.
Absolutely. So here we are today in Margaret, Alabama. Again, we appreciate Mr. Billy Dean for joining us on the show today to share about his life of music. Perfect. We talked about music in the first two segments with Mr. Billy Dean, and then we talked about music in the third segment with Mr. Logan Lake and his family. Folks, here on the Mark White Show, we're recognizing difference makers and sharing their stories to encourage and inspire. And if you're encouraged by this show, please share it with your family, your friends, and your neighbors. Let them know about the Mark White Show and what we're doing to make a difference in our communities around the country and the world. Of course, I want you to follow The Mark White Show on Facebook and Instagram and subscribe to The Mark White Show podcast wherever you get your podcast. You have been listening to another edition of The Mark White Show coming to you from Margaret, Alabama. And this is Mark White encouraging you to find your purpose by making a difference in someone's life today.
These are my kind of people.